Bruchim Aboyim to the new series of lectures on HashkofaCircle.com, which is entitled The Oral Tradition of the Written Law. Now, the title itself is, I would guess, cause for contemplation and discussion. What oral tradition can the written law possibly have? After all, doesn't the oral law emerge and come after as an interpretation of the written law? So, Mirtz Hashem, in the upcoming Shiurim, Be'ezas Hashem Yisbarach, we're going to actually look a little bit at how Chazal understood the nature of the Torah Shebichsav, the written law, the written Torah, and the relationship of the Torah Shebichsav to the Torah Shebialpeh. That is the relationship between the oral law and the written law, and hence the title, The Oral Tradition of the Written Law. Now, part of this, part of the ideas, at least the genesis of some of the ideas, actually were alluded to, in fact, maybe even more alluded to a series of shiurim, a series on HashkofaCircle.com, which I gave a while ago on the Simen Kuf Chaf Hei of the Chazon Ish in Or HaChaim, that is section 125 of the Chazon Ish in Or HaChaim, of the Chidushim, the novel of the Chazon Ish. And there, he discussed, it's a Simon, it's a section in which the Chazon Ish discusses what he calls Seder Desinis Parshas HaTorah, the order and the giving of the Parshas of the Torah, which the Chazon Ish described, looked at the Chumash, and tried to understand the history within the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, how the mitzvahs were commanded. As we see that there are several mitzvahs which appear several times, given Rabbi Akiva's position that the kolam and protim, the general and details of all the commandments, the mitzvahs, were given on Har Sinai. So how do we account for the fact that we see that several mitzvahs appear several times in different Chamishi Chumshei Torah, some in Shemai, some in Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim, and that there are changes in the way the Torah reveals these mitzvahs to us? So the Chazon Ish there said, and perhaps not a cryptic, but rather a very cursive language, that the changes that we see in the mitzvahs as they appear along the course of the Chumash come to allude to us to the oral law as Chazal used it in interpreting the written law. Now, exactly what Chazon Ish said is not entirely clear. He was very, very brief. But nonetheless, these lectures which I'm going to give are actually going to expand and perhaps even expound upon the idea of the Chazon Ish. And what I want to do is actually I want to arrive at, in fact, an understanding, a thorough understanding of the text of the Torah Shebichsav, as it was understood by Chazal, by the sages, Zichrono Levracha, and as a result, perhaps we can actually gather and garner a tremendous amount of insight into the actual Chumash itself, and to the very nature of the relationship between the written law and the oral law, that is, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebialpeh. So, in Mirtz Hashem, this will be the a series of shiurim devoted to this subject matter. The first lectures, I'm not sure how many lectures that will be, that we never know until we get there, will actually discuss in general the nature of the text of the Chumash and the nature of the Chazal's understanding of the relationship between the text of the Chumash and the oral law. And afterwards, I actually want to go into several examples. We go into several what you call sugyas in the Torah Shebichsav, in which I want to perhaps use the tools which I hope to develop in the initial lectures, initial shiurim, in order to further understand the very nature of the text of these sugis, of these laws, as they appear in different parts and in different expressions within the Chumash itself. Imiyat Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, now, I want to begin with a Gemara in Gittin, in Daf Samach Amar Aleph. The Gemara discusses a very, very important question. And I think this is the question that really we're going to actually focus on. In fact, actually, this is the question which I hope in Mirtz Hashem to somewhat answer at the end of all the Shiurim. Namely, how was how did Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, write down the Torah? In other words, how was the written Torah written down? And interestingly enough is that actually, this is actually discussed in a Gemara in Gittin, Tav Samach Bar Aleph, Folio 68, Sine A. And the Gemara, Chazal, present to us a machloikas of Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. So, on Tav Samach Bar Aleph, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, says Yechanan, Bishim Rabbi Bana, in the name of Rabbi Bana, Torah, the Torah, Megillah Nitna. The Torah was given in, the Torah was given, right, in a series of Megillahs. In other words, each section of the Torah was given, right, in a series of Megillahs. Shenema az amalti hinei basi Megillah Sefer. Kosov alai. Now, what it means was given. I'm actually translating it, but actually, according to, it seems, the way Rashi learns, Megillah Nitna means it was written down. In other words, as Moshe Rabbeinu apprehended his Nevuah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Each Megillah, which means every section of the Torah, right? He wrote it down. So in other words, the Torah was written down piecemeal.
Why does this imply written down? Because the word
Megillah? We'll see. Actually, from Reish Lakish's position, we'll see how Reish Lakish is going to, in fact, actually, from his disagreement, we'll be able to garner the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so that's what it says, Kosov Alai. Also, too, a Megillah is always, in fact, actually something which is written down. Megillah's Tainis, Megillah's Torim, those are the Sforim which Chazal always refer to things which are written down. Rashi says in Erevin, that in fact the only thing that was written down in the Talmud Talmorim was actually Megillah's Tainis. So Megillah always refers to something which is written down. And it says, Megillah's Sefer Kosov Alai. Okay, so in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah was written down piecemeal, as it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was written down. That's the Bishul of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shimon Lakish Omer, Torah Chasuma Nitna. No, the Torah was written down all at once. All at once. Chasuma Nitna means written down all at once. Right? Shenemal, as it says, right? Lakoach es Sefer Torah Hazois. Right? Right? Take the Sefer Torah, which means at that point, right, that point was actually written down. Okay? So, now let's look at Rashi. We'll look at Rashi, right? Cause of Allah. Mi aznit the Torah is kaldi bave et shtei b'nai secha. Right? In other words, it says, Alma begila ikra mishin de betchila nechtava begila reishis v'ada begila snoyach v'ada begila savon v'ada kama begila avon kosov alai. In other words, basically, the Rashi explains the way I explained it. In fact, actually, the Torah is written down piecemeal. And Chasuma, it says, Gemura musiyemes v'shleima. In other words, basically, according to Reish Lakish, the entire Torah was written all at one time, at the very, very end of the Arba'im Shana of the Midbar. That's Reish Lakish's opinion, yeah.
I may be preempting the rest of the shiur, but
yes.
Why Megillah Nitna, it's not what I would have thought, that the Gemara is saying that each event as it happened in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu was written down. But rather Rashi says that even when Moshe wrote down Bereishis, which had already happened, he still wrote it down piece by piece, was given to him in pieces rather than...
I don't know your question is, but the term was written piecemeal.
But it wasn't... I had understood that Bereishis was given wherever, Mara or...
No, what Rashi says, no. Rashi says...
Even Bereishis was given Megillah.
No, what Rashi says, Noyach, etc.
And there's no reason, though, for...
I know, that's right, but I think Megillah, so on. The Gemara is speaking about the entire
Torah. I understand, but there's no... Is there any reason why Bereishis would be given separately than Noach?
No. What's called Megillah, I'm not sure. Clear. It could possibly be that, in other words, the first parsha of the Torah, before there are... Well, we have what's called the Parshas Tumas and Psuchos, right? So therefore, I don't know, I can't answer that question right now, right. But I think good Rashi is giving Lamashal example. In other words, Rashi can't refer to me to the actually Parshas Tumas and the Sunnah because it would take the entire page to quote the Basar. Rashi just gives an example.
Parshas Korach and Parshas Meraglim.
Okay, fine, he started from the beginning. Okay, fine. Anyway, but then it goes like this. So in other words, we have here a machlokes, right? We have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah was written down piecemeal. And I guess at the very end, right, the Torah was compiled. Now, of course, that doesn't, you know, necessarily mean that it was written down piecemeal. So the way we get it is the actual piecemeal historical writing of Moshe Rabbeinu, because we have a klal, right? A mucha mukta b'Torah. So what we'd have to say, in a certain sense, is that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that even though the Torah is written piecemeal, nonetheless, the final, I'm going to call it, quote-unquote, redaction by Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, al pi ha-gevura, also took place at the very, very end of the Aboyim Shana. That's what Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying. Whereas Reish Lakish seems to be something totally different. According to Reish Lakish, the entire Torah is written down at the end of Aboyim Shana, at the 40 years, at the very end of Devarim. Meaning what? That in the 40 years before that, the Torah was literally an oral tradition, which is finally written down at the end of the 40 years, at the end of Devarim. So we have here a very, very interesting, quote-unquote, dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the nature of the text of the Torah. Is the text of the Torah somehow a series of texts which were at a certain point, al pi ha-gevura, redacted at the very, very end after everything was written down? Or was in fact after the Torah struck itself a type of an oral tradition which was transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu pi ha-gevura throughout the 40 years? And only at the very end of the 40 years did a text emerge. Now, of course, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not, you know, engaged in a historical debate, a historical argument. I mean, clearly, Klal Yisrael has a Masoreh tradition, right, how the Torah was written down. It's unlikely and for sure absurd to think that there is actually an argument on historical facts. But rather, what I would like to suggest is that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are presenting are two ways of understanding a text. How do we understand the text? Or, let's put it this way, two types of a text. Of course, the Torah is one text. But there are two types of texts, or I would say, two ways in which a text is created. In other words, there are two ways of creating a text. The first way of creating a text, and I'm going to call it that the creation theory of the text, the textual theory of creation, is that actually there is no text. There's an oral tradition, and then, at one point in time, this oral tradition culminates in what's called a text. But prior to the establishment of the text, there is no text. People are speaking, discussing, at the very end, they write down a text. That's called the creation theory of text, or the creation aspect of a text. Creation structure of text.
It's not the Torah. This
We're
is
going
a general,
to... Right. This
theory.
Is a general text. Right. And then, there's a second theory of text. That really, well, we have what's called or text. In other words, basically, we have a series of texts, right? The text might come from different traditions, different schools, etc., made different points in history. And then someone comes along, a group of people comes along, and what's called redacts the text, right? And this is also represents the emergence of a text. But I would call this is not textual creation. I would call this textual redaction. In fact, actually, I think that we have the expressions here. This is what's called textual creation and textual redaction. In other words, redacting a text is different from creating a text. A text is created, right, where there is no text before that, but rather some type of a oral tradition culminates in the creation of a text. That's called textual creation. But then there's a text that comes from redaction. Namely, what we have is we have a series of texts, or texts that appeared previously in history, and then someone comes along and decides to somehow put the text together. Doesn't necessarily mean there's a hodgepodge of text. There's a very deep, you know, a deep wisdom and understanding of the text and the way the texts are put together and redacted. And this I would call is the act of what we call redaction. Okay, now, I'm going to leave the Chumash now. I'm probably going to leave the Chumash now for the rest of this year. And what I'm going to do is, I want to explore how these two concepts of textuality, of formation of text, namely textual creation and textual redaction, actually appear in Chazal and the Rishonim and the commentaries. Okay? Now, I want to begin with probably the most important document which details, describes the development of the Torah Shebi'al Peh, the history of Torah Shebi'al Peh, and that is, of course, the Igeres of Shri'a Goyim. Okay? The edition which I have in front of me is, I guess, the standard edition, which is edited by Dr. Binyamin Menashe Levin. And in this edition, of course, he presents the two famous manuscripts, which have been called the Spanish manuscript and the French manuscript. And of course, we know that the French manuscript is for sure the most accurate and authentic manuscript. It's very interesting how many people have quoted this text of Shur Goyin, and in my opinion, not that I've seen the entire literature, somehow miss what I would say to be one of the most central ideas in the Igeres, in his epistle. Namely, the answer to the first question that he asks as he begins the epistle, the Igeres. The Shur Goyin the question that's presented of Shur Goyin is that if we understand that the Mishnayos come from, let's say, what's called Anshei Knesset HaGedola, that's in the question. David Tzvi wants to say, along the course of Shur Goyin, he decides that the Mishnayos actually came from Hillel, but we'll actually discuss that. But if we understand the Mishnayos come from Anshei Knesset HaGedola, so how is it, why is it that the Mishnayos, which we have in the Mishnayos, in the Talmud, Bavli Yerushalmi, only quote Tanoim from at most not more than 150, 200 years before the Churban HaBayis, destruction of the temple. In other words, we don't have Tanoim quoted in the Mishnah that nearly go back to Anshei Knesset HaGedola. The only Tanoim that are really quoted are later Tanoim that lived much closer to the Churban HaBayis, and later on until the 3rd century, until we have Rebbe and Rabbi Nosson. That's the question it's a Shur Goyin. In other words, and this is a very, very important question, because if you want to claim that the Mishnayos or Maseira, they weren't invented by Hillel and Shammai, right? So how come, with a few exceptions of Yisib and Ya'aza, etc., we see that the Mishnayos, they're known as being quoted from back to the point of time that we are claiming the Mishnayos stem from? Yeah.
Why does Masorah only go back to Anshei Knesset HaGedola?
That's another question. That's another question, which actually I will address a little bit later on. But, in other words, those of you who have studied Chochmah, but it's called Chochmas Yisrael, right? Which, according to Rav Kook, in a famous speech he gave at the opening, or the laying of the beginning of the foundation of the Harry Fishel Institute, there, of Kook claim that Chochmas Yisrael is part of Gufei Torah. That's his quote there. But we all know that in Chochmas Yisrael we have a very famous dispute between Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, the famous Mechaber of the Teras HaRishonim, and between Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, Mechaber of many Sfarim, including HaMishnah HaRishonah, the Elster Mishnah. The Elster Mishnah, that's what I'm speaking German or Yiddish. But in any case, of course, Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman wants to claim Mishnayos come from the time of Hillel and Shammai. And Rabbi Isaac Halevi, with tremendous kanoyis, gedalka b'kodesh, right, talked very, very, argued very strongly that, in fact, the Mishnayos, chas v'shalom, come from Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Before that, I'll get to that. But yeah,
just historically, so I know which one came first. So David Zvi Hoffman was earlier than
David Zvi Hoffman is early on. Right, right. David Zvi Hoffman, I think, is probably the end of the 19th century. Right.
And David Zvi Hoffman is the
turn of the century, World War I. He establishes the first Aguda convention. I think it was Abchaim who called him on to establish the first Aguda convention. I'm not sure how he's better well known as a historian as the founder of the Aguda convention. I think he was a German. He was a Yekir. Right. He was a Yekir of David Zvi Hoffman. He was a Yekir who became Litvish. David Zvi Hoffman was a Hungarian who became German. Just means that hashkafas are not necessarily genetic. In any case, we have a famous machlokes. The Mishnayos begin with Anshikas Gedur, they begin with Hillel and Shammai. Now the fact is that both, you know, among other things, bring raya's from the Higel Shrua Goy. Because the assumption of Shrua Goy is that the Mishnayos actually, in fact, start from Anshikas Gedur. I mean, Tav Tzvi Ofer, Mishnayos Raya later on. I don't want to go into right now that they come from Hillel and Shammai. But in any case, the point is, the basic point which I want to establish is that this is the question asked by a Shrua Goy. Now, I challenge you, listeners, those of you who are watching or listening, to survey the literature. Where is the answer? Where is the answer? He goes on and brings raya's and brings proofs that, for example, that even, in other words, that a bayah v'rava, a bayah v'rava, were known by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, etc., etc., raya's like this. He brings many chazals to indicate that the disputes upon Lenin Merayim took place in earlier Tanaim. Very, very good. But what's the answer to the question? So I claim the answer to the question is actually in the Levin edition on page 22. In page 22, it's interesting that the answer, like, it's not clear. In my opinion, it's clearly the answer. But it comes sort of like, as part of a discussion. The Igeles Shrua Goyim is like, it's organized in a very interesting way. Let's put it this way. We'll be diplomatic. In other words, the major point is not stated, at least explicitly, but somehow you have to really understand what he's saying to understand the major point. Now, which could possibly be that the Igeles was written not only as a, you know, coming to teach someone something, but also as a type of a diatribe against the Kalayim. So, that's usually what happens. First you give it, you know, first you send out the rhetoric, the kanois, and then you come to the major point. Anyway, on page 22, I'm reading from the French edition. As I said before, the French version is the most accurate version, but I don't think there's really much of a difference here. He says, in the early generations, kol v'chad v'chad, each person, which means each rebbe, each teacher, megabel lohoin le'talmidim, would teach to his talmidim, ka'odim shevesap l'chaveiroi, like a person speaks to his friend, be'ez loshin shiyotze, in any language that he wanted. In other words, Rav Shrua Goyim tells us that, in fact, the Mesila, the transmission of the Teish B'Alpeh, was really a private relationship, a private conversation between Rebbe and Talmud. So therefore, here we have the answer. For sure there was a transmission of the Teish B'Alpeh from the Tamashkan Gadayla. But what I want to claim is, Rav Shrua Goyim is saying, is that it wasn't transmitted with a text. But rather, each Rebbe would teach the Talmud in the language in which they spoke, in the form, the manner, the syntax, semantics, whatever was unique to that Rebbe, in which he would moshe the Torah. Beginning at a later point with the Tanoim, what we call the Tanoim, the Tanoim.
After the Zugos.
Right. Then all of a sudden the Torah transmitted through a text. Then already you have what you might call the text of the Mishnah. Now, this is what I claim is Rav Shrua Goyim's answer. Shrua Goyim's answer is one has to distinguish between an oral transmission without a text and an oral transmission with a text. That's Rav Shrua Goyim is saying. You have a question.
Clarification, the Dogma, when Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about the Ur text of the Mishnah, he means an Ur text from Hillel and Shammai. That's when it goes.
Well, Rabbi Akiva Eger at the end of Kalim, right?
Yeah, and in Psachim as well.
That's true, but that's an earlier text.
So that's not, he's not saying Begdash.
No. There's a text. For example, Ashreichem Kalim, Yitnasim Betumer, Yatsasim Betaira, says Rabbi Akiva Eger there in the Mishnayas. Taisus of Kiva and the Mishnayos, we see that there was a Masechtas before Rebbe,
right.
But there was a text of Rabbi Yossi.
Right. So
Rebbe built upon that text.
So that text is two or three generations before Rebbe.
That's right. And Echanami, right. That's right. And that's that the Rashi will speak to Rabbi not this time, next time, Lama Gilma Beis, and Bava Vatsiv, for example, Rashi describes in detail how Rebbe compiled the Mishnayos. But, in other words, here we're speaking about the emergence of the text. Now, you spoke about the Zugos, which is important, because I want to bring here two rayas, two sources from Rav Shira Goyen's statement. Okay? Two sources in Shas. One source is a Gemara, which I'm sure you're familiar from the Shiurim of the Chazon Ish. It's a first Gemara in Tezvav Amud Beis, in Temura. There the Gemara says, right, Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, right, Mimois Moshe Achemes Yosef Ben Yaza, from the time of Moshe until Yosef Ben Yaza passed away, how you lamedim teir kamesha rabbeinu, they would teach teir like Moshe Rabbeinu. From afterwards until Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to claim that Yosef Ben Yaza is the point, and that afterwards he creates a text. In fact, actually, Yosef Ben Yaza is probably the earliest Tana that's mentioned in the Mishnayos. Just about. Right, the Bible, right after that is Hillel v'Shammai.
He's the beginning of the Sukkos.
Hillel v'Shammai.
No.
Yosef Ben Yaza is beginning.
Yosef Ben Yaza is the beginning of the Sukkos and Hillel is the end of the Sukkos.
Okay, fine, there we go. That's what I want to say. Oh, very, very good. No, but that's what I want to say. In other words, in fact, actually, why do we have Zugos? Once is the text, it's a machloikas. In other words, if we all get together and discuss something and come to an agreement, but once is a text, each can either argue on a text or present a different text. So in other words, what I want to say is here, we can pinpoint in this Gemara that in fact, actually, the beginning of the emergence of the text, the creation of the text of the oral law, which is the Mishnah, this eventually takes place around the time of Yosef Ben Yaza or afterwards.
We still don't really find the Zugos in the Mishnah itself.
Fine, Bezeda. But I'm just saying, well, Yosef Ben Yaza we do find.
Yeah, saying, Shimon Shay, Yeshua Ben Prachy, apart from Pirkei Avos.
Okay, fine, okay, fine. Speaking in general. Okay. Yeah. Now, I want to bring another ayah to the Shia Goyim. It's the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. The Gemara Chaf Amar Aleph says, right, Amar Eish Lakish, Chaf Amar Aleph, right, Shebetchila, in the beginning, by the way, this is Eish Lakish of Gittin, Samach Amar Aleph, we'll make the connection maybe more with Derech Dosh. Shebetchila, in the beginning, Kishinishtacha Terem Yisrael, when Torah was forgotten for the Jewish people, whatever that means, Allah Ezra mi Bavel, Ezra went up, came from Bavel, for Yasta, he established it, whatever that means. Chazra v'nishtacha, is forgotten again, Allah Hila Bala v'yasta, Chazra v'nishtacha, Allah Rabchil Bala v'yastura. What's nishtacha? I want to claim that each point we have the emergence of a new text. Very simply, what's the text of Ezra? We can say simply, based upon the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amud Beis in Sanhedrin, that in fact Ezra, right, changed the lashon of the Torah, the Ksav of the Torah, not Chas V'Shalom, changed the Ksav of the Torah, but went for, to lashon, right, like the Gemara says Sanhedrin.
The Torah.
In other words, we see that the Torah now is given the lashon Ashuris, and Lashon HaKodesh with Ksav HaShulis.
Even if we don't say the language was changed.
No, the Chas V'Shalom, the language wasn't changed. Chas V'Shalom, the Ritva and Megillah. I just want to say, as we see, that for the Hamayinam,
there was a compilation of, Zagdola, codified.
Whatever the Torah was read, transmitted to the Hamayinam, that the Ritva says. Right? However, the text of the Torah that was transmitted to the Hamayinam, in the Lashon of the Ritva and Megillah, of course, Chas V'Shalom, the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu was given b'ksav Ashuras, right? Because from that we learn Tili Tili Shal Halachas, and also to B'lashon HaKodesh, b'ksav Ashuras. Nonetheless, because of what Kedushasa, the Ritva, says that the Torah as it was transmitted, that was given to the Hamayinam, was given in different Lashonot, Lamit Lav Nundes, etc., Lashon Ivri. In any case, we see that Ezra plays a very, very important role here. That's Nishtacha v'yastura.
The Gemara Megillah says he canonized Tanakh.
Fine. Now, let's go further. Hillel, I want to claim, well, we've spoken about this. The first list of mitzvahs, the Tosefta Sanhedrin, he was Derish Sheva mitzvahs in front of B'nai B'Seira. That's a new type of attack. See the Shi'urim on the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Behem. Reb Chiya, I want to claim also too, we'll speak about this. Reb Chiya is in fact, the Tosefta. But it's very, very important. Yeah.
Hillel, Midas Rebbe Trutz is saying that Hillel is also the introduction of a written
It's a new type of an oral text.
An oral text.
The Midas represent a type of an oral text. Actually, we spoke about that.
But we're not saying written.
No. This is all oral.
Ezra wrote.
That's true, but we could say that since it was the Torah that was used by the Hamoin Am, and not...
That's what I was written.
So therefore, it's a type of an oral text too in Ezra. That's what I want to say. Chas v'shalom. But that's what I want to say. That's, in other words, there was a type of a Targum, a Tilgum. In any case, what I want to bring these is two rayas, two sources of this statement, the Rashi Ragayin. We see that Chazal were very, very aware of the fact. Something called Nishtacha Torah. Nishtacha Torah doesn't mean we forget the Torah. But rather, in a certain sense, there is no longer a textless oral tradition. And then a text is established. And now, the future generations, the post-text, textual generations, what they do is, they darshan, they try to understand, they interpret the text. And that's called the shtacha of the previous oral tradition. Lafi anias daiti, that's why I want to learn the Gemara. Okay? Now, this concept of a oral tradition before a text is actually appears in none other than Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Rasisei Laila. It's in section Memvav.
What page?
Daf Memvav Amud Dalet, or in the English, this is all the old edition, where both of us who are a certain age, we only look at the old editions, on page 92. So it's interesting that here, that Rav Tzadok HaKohen makes this crucial jump, which we're going to leave you on a limb right now, to the written, the Torah Shebichtav. Says Rav Tzadok, of course, this is part of a very long maimer, long discussion, Gedalka B'Kodesh, uv'tchilas habriya gam Torah Shebichtav haya mechlal devon Shebichtav. The beginning, Torah Shebichtav was also part of Torah Shebichtav, says Rav Tzadok. Shadayim lo nitna Torah, the Torah wasn't given yet, meaning there wasn't a text yet. V'Torah Shebichtav atzma, the Torah Shebichtav itself, Moshe Rabbeinu apprehended the Torah Shebichtav from Miklal Torah Shebialpeh, and it was part of Torah Shebialpeh. Al derech hasagas hanaviim shu Torah Shebialpeh, and then afterwards, when the Torah was given, then it became a certain sense of a text. Or we could learn in the Gemara and get to. I don't want to go into the details right now. In the Tzadok HaKohen, we clearly see. And this is what I'm calling the oral tradition of the written law. That there was a hasaga, hanavuis, a prophetic apprehension of Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Torah became a text. Before it became a text. Very, very interesting. And there's a lot of arichas. There's a tremendous amount to go in here. This is, Rav Tzadok actually speaks out some very interesting ideas. And so we see, this is one aspect of the text, which means the creation of a text from a textless oral tradition. And this is Shitas Reish Lakish. Now, what I want to say is, the Memra that I brought in Sukkah, in Chaf Amud Aleph, who's the Bala Memer that speaks about the creation of a textual tradition, is none other than Reish Lakish. And it's very much Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish begins, Hareini Kaporas Rabchir Ubanov, I'm a Kaporas Ubanov, and the last textual creation is Nishtokha Ol Rabchir Ubanov Yazdua. Reish Lakish understood himself as involved in this creation of a text, that's why he's Kapos Rabchir Ubanov. That's Reish Lakish. Okay.
What was the text Reish Lakish was creating?
We'll get to that. Okay? Many miles to go before we sleep. Okay. In summary, we've established, I think, rather clearly, that there's a clear concept of the creation of a text from a textless oral tradition. Of course, that's one concept of text. There are two concepts of text. There's a concept of textual reduction of a text, which we'll get to maybe next time, maybe the time afterwards. I want to elaborate more on some of the ideas we expressed today. And this appeals to be the opinion, or the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's, of Reish Lakish's statement in Gittin Samach Amar Aleph in describing the text of the Torah Shemaksav. In any case, from an undisclosed location, Yushalayim al-Kadesh, until next week, we will continue Kol Tov.